Powered from the Perdomo Scar Studios on the Red Stage and broadcasting from down under outside Brisbane, Australia, and a remote location in Central Florida. Welcome to episode 39 of the Primetime Jukebox. Tonight, I'm on the road and we'll take a look at what makes a great road trip mix of tunes. And as always, Primetime Jukebox is sponsored by Perdomo Cigars. Awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend is offered in three distinct wrappers: a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan sungrown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double-Aged 12-Year Vintage, Perdomo 20th Anniversary, the Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Line, Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Age, Perdomo Lot 23, Perdomo Immenso 70, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by JRE Tobacco, the authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars of Cuba, it was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Hamastron Valley in Honduras, Julio Araroa took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original seeds. And in 2000, he successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years experience in the tobacco business, from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the JRE Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now with JRE Tobacco, Julio and his son Justo bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Aladino is available in a 100% authentic Corojo Puro, San Andres Maduro, Ecuador and Connecticut shade, Cameroon or Habano wrapper, representing the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for JRE Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every draw. And finally, by Drew Estate. This year marks the 25th anniversary of Drew Estate and the rebirth of cigars movement. To celebrate this momentous occasion, the company is inviting you, consumers, retailers, and cigar media to an epic blowout birthday bash entitled DE25. DE25 will be held on September 25th at the South Fork Ranch in Parker, Texas, part of the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area. The DE25 celebration will include the unveiling of DE's newest brands with a first-to-experience approach for consumers and trade partners together. Buy your tickets today at drewestate.com/DE25. And remember, all the live streaming for the Primetime Network of Shows, as well as the California studios for the Primetime Network of Shows, is sponsored exclusively by Drew Estate. Well, welcome, everybody. This is Primetime Jukebox episode 39. This is an end of May edition. We are on Memorial Day. This is Will Cooper. I'm not in the Perdomo Cigar Studios today. I am in Central Florida, just outside Orlando. Inside from the pool because a bad thunderstorm came through and it wasn't going to be a good idea to be out there with wires. But I'm joined cross country by my friend and colleague, Mr. Dave Burke.
Hello, Coop. Coop's on the road.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, I did that show with Seth from Texas, but the only other time I was on the road, I remember I did a show from Miami also when Seth was on the show. And we were doing, that was the Ginger Baker show, the old Pritchard show we did. Yeah, so I haven't done a lot of jukeboxes from the road, but it was really good to be on the road.
Yeah, no, it's good to be on the road, opening it up, getting to go to places, see people again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first leg of this trip, last weekend I was in Miami. I saw the Espinosa crew, I saw the Drew Estate crew. I was with Justo Araroa from JRE Tobacco.
Right.
I was over at Alec Bradley. I was over at Altidus with Rafael Nodal. Actually, I wasn't at Altidus. I was at Rafael Nodal's house, which was really cool.
Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a beachside place, and they have a private smoking lounge in the apartment building, which was really cool. And then I was up at Smoke Inn with Abe one in the afternoon. So, and Corona Cigars, Jeff. Now the most interesting of Corona cigars He's like, I got to see my first alligator in the wild ever.
Oh, I saw pictures of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Sand Lake, which is the name of the place. Jeff's main store is behind the store. There is a Sand Lake. And okay. I basically, my father-in-law was telling me, hey, you know, wherever there's water, you got to watch out for alligators, right? Okay, so I go into Corona Cigars to get a cigar, and I come back out to get my equipment to do the show with Jeff. And I look down at the lake, and sure enough, there's an alligator, like, sitting there. Now, I was elevated, so there was no way this alligator was going to get up. The parking lot was elevated, but it was still pretty close to me. It was kind of interesting to see that.
Nice. That's like crocodiles up here.
Yeah.
We get big crocodiles.
Yeah. I did get to see, I actually kind of watched the alligator for about 15 minutes, and then he took off. And I don't know how fast crocodiles are, but when they say alligators are fast, they're not kidding. They swim like a bullet.
Well, you've had an exciting trip so far.
Yep. I'm very happy. And then I go back on, I'll be back home Wednesday night is the plan.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I said, even though you're not smoking, I have a cigar that you sent me that I'm smoking.
Yes. And I'm really curious to see your thoughts on this one tonight.
It is. Now you're going to have to talk me through it because I didn't find a lot of info on it, but it's Illusione H1, like what, a Candela Lancero. It looks to be just like a 42.
I believe it's a classic 38. On that one. The official name of that cigar is the Illusione Claro HL.
HL.
Yeah.
Which
it's initials for Holy Lance.
All right. So do you know any info on this? Because I haven't really seen many Illusione Candelas.
Yeah. So this is, it's based off the original documents, which is the original Illusione line. And that Candela is actually, he also calls it the Illusione Candela, but I've heard it called the Claro as well. It's a cigar that's been out for about 10 years. It's not a new cigar. It's a 7.5 by 40. So it's a little thicker than your normal Lancero. Most of the blend on it is, Criollo 98 and Corojo 99. I believe that it used to be made in Honduras. Now it's made in Nicaragua. And of course there's a Candela wrapper on it. It's not a powerful cigar by any means. If you're going to smoke Dion's type of cigar, it's going to be what you would expect, refined. I remember when I did the show with Paul Asadorian, he really liked the Illusione Candelas. His favorite size was the 888 size.
Okay.
Which I want to say is it's more of a Churchill size.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but I remember when his kid was born, he gave out Illusione 888 Candelas. But the HL, like I said, it's more in the Lancero range for sure.
It's great. It's creamy, a little bit grassy. It's got like this sort of sweetness and coffee note to it. It is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, Dion does a really good Candela.
That's very good.
He's also got the 8.8 Candela, which is a Robusto. And then the CG4 is coming out as a PCA exclusive. That's been floating around as a limited for a while, and that's a Corona Gorda.
Oh, see, I'd be interested in trying to have one of those, like either Churchill's, or I don't think I've ever had a Candela that big.
Yeah.
Churchill size?
Yeah, then not often you find a common, that's a good point. You don't often find those cigars. That's a good point in that size. Churchill. You know, a lot of Candelas we see are Robusto and Toro.
Yeah, I think the biggest Candela or the biggest ring gauge Candela I have had is the Roma Craft one.
Yeah, that's a 5x56.
That's in the EH. Yeah, that's 56. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's and that's a Robusto Grande, I guess you'd call it.
Cigars.
We'll have to get John McTavish's official ruling on the size of that one.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, Fomorian is a thick can. It's a very thick Candela.
It's a very good
cigar.
No, this cigar is smoking fantastic. So thank you, Coop.
I hope you enjoy it. That was part of the can. And by the way, I have the I have some more of the La Flor Machete de Oros that came right before I left.
So oh, there you.
So yeah, so you'll be getting some of those.
Mm.
Yeah. So
and on the show in the future, we're gonna feature a very special Viaje Candela.
Yes, and those will be shipped as well. Those are gonna be the. That's going to be the Bruce Banner Hulk one, the Marvel pool.
Yeah, a little tease for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to figure, I don't know, maybe we'll have to figure some theme to incorporate that into.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty big cigar as well.
Yeah, I don't remember what the size of it is. It's a bigger Candela.
Listen, I'm smoking Coop.
Yep.
And then you have a cigar that you're not smoking, but have.
I have the Mi Querida in the Más Sucia, which is a massive 7x64 size. And, I wish I was going to smoke this under better circumstances. But I think folks may have seen this if you haven't. I always like to say our listeners and our audience, they're an extension of what we do. It's not cliche to say they're part of our family because they're the fabric of the show. And we get to know a lot of them. In the case of one listener, I knew this person before he became a fan of our shows. And he was a big supporter of Cigar Coop as well as the primetime shows. His name was Scott Alexander Cunhas, who passed away after a really tough battle with COVID. We called him Big Scott. We called him the Cigar Machine. Loved cigars. He loved to sell cigars. The guy was my tobacconist for a while. I credit him for opening up my horizons with my palate. He really kind of got me at it. We talk about comfort zones. I used to be very much in a comfort zone. He got me out of it very easily. Just loved people. And he was Big Scott. He was a big guy. He loved La Flor Dominicana. And he loved Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. He loved all cigars, but those brands stood out. I happened to have this cigar with me, the Más Sucia, a big Mi Querida for Big Scott. This cigar will be put down for tonight just because I can't smoke because of the rain that happened earlier. But it's here for Scott, and it will be smoked in his memory. And we're going to miss you, big guy.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Coop, thoughts out to his family.
Absolutely. And, I got to say it again. You talk about the industry. There were so many people that either knew him or didn't know him that just gave an outpouring of support. Abe from Smoke In didn't even know him, but knew him through his Smoke In social group. And he did a tribute for him there as well as on KMA this morning. Because when you meet people, even though you and I have never met in person, right? It's kind of strange, but you build these friendships, and it's things that we have been able to do in the past. Technology's helped that. I had the advantage of knowing Scott for a long time. Scott did move to Virginia, so I haven't seen him in a while, but he was unwavering with watching our shows. He either caught him live or on replay. I mean, he did not miss a show. When I started seeing him miss a show, I suspected something was going on. And it was COVID, and he had it bad. He fought tooth and nail this thing too. Like I said, thoughts and prayers to his family.
Yep. Thoughts and prayers out to him and everybody that knew him.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's hard to make a transition.
It is. There's no easy way
from that, but I will transition to the website. We got some latest reviews, and we have I wrote a feature that's sort of a teaser for an upcoming show that Will and I have been talking about for a while. And that is, if you notice, and if you watch Apple TV, there's a lot of 50-year anniversaries coming up for really important records, because 1971 is a huge year in music. And I have a feature up looking at like 10 records that were released in 71 that are all coming up on 50 anniversaries. that isn't even, it doesn't even scratch the surface of everything released in 71. There's an Apple TV, I think like 6-part series all on the music of 1971. Yeah, so check that out. I think we're gonna try and do a show on that this year.
Yep.
On some of the records released in 71. So check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we were doing the planning, this kind of came about. We were looking at, like, obviously doing something for a milestone of 50 years. And this is a landmark year. Not only were there a lot of great albums that came out that year, there were a lot of artists when I was looking at the year that did debuts that year as well. So, I mean, I think, and in Dave's article, he's got 10 selections. I would say some of them would overlap mine, and I probably have some other ones I'll have to look yeah. at doing as well. But that's why we do this. And I think it's really good. We're going to pay homage to that year. It was, I think you and I agree, this was the 70s was one of the great decades of music.
It is for me, anyway. And this year is huge. I mean, Dojo will be very happy because I didn't put Sticky Fingers on there. So
well, that was
Rolling Stone. Rolling Stones got omitted, so he'll be happy about that.
Yeah, but that, don't worry. It's not gonna get a minute from me, Eric. So he is not. Don't put any jinxes on us yet on that either.
The thing too that I like noticed, and we'll talk more about this when we do the show, and we'll go on to what we're doing. But like how prolific these artists were. Like Zeppelin put out Zeppelin 4 in 71, and they put out their first album in 69, and like. Bowie put out a record in 71 and he put one out in 70 and he put one out in 72. Like just the amount of music they were sort of like moving through, the pace of some of these artists was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about Aretha Franklin, very similar. You know, on one side of the coin, the albums were smaller, right? So you could say, all right, these were eight songs on an album, you know, CD's now 14. So but they still had to be produced, right? Mm-hmm. And there's still a whole production angle and a mixing angle and you know, distributing it and promoting it. So it's still an amazing, even though there's less, maybe less, it's an amazing feat that they're doing. And you're right, Led Zeppelin was on Led Zeppelin 4 when that one came out, right?
It was like, yeah.
So, yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I forget when we have that show planned, but that will probably be a very big show when we do it.
Yeah.
So, but it will be this year, we'll be doing that show.
Mm-hmm. Other music news. We got for Radiohead fans, I thought I'd put this out. Hector, you know, since you're in Florida and you've seen Hector, this could go out to Hector because he's a big Radiohead fan like I am. Tom York and Johnny Greenwood, that are both in Radiohead, and Tom Skinner, who is a drummer from another indie band whose name escapes me. They have formed a band called The Smile. It's a 3-piece. They performed a set at Glastonbury, did like, you know, like a lot of concerts now, virtual concerts, Glastonbury instead of the big, you know, huge festival show. And they did a set at what's called Live at Worthy Farm that you can find online. And it's just a great sound from a 3-piece. It's Tom York's side projects are always interesting. Adams for Peace was one he did with Flea a while ago. They've said that they're a thing. So I anticipate like an EP or something coming out. I haven't seen any studio stuff out yet, but they've like Tom York has said they're a band. So I'm guessing they're going to put at least a record out, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And you got a track here, Coop.
Yeah. So, you know, the Pet Shop Boys, they were my album of the year last year. The Hotspot album, I thought was a great album. I'm just pulling up a note here I had on this. But Pet Shop Boys are known very much. I think, you know, they're very much known for their electronic sound and over the years. So they released a new song called Cricket Wife, which in my opinion is... it's a big change in direction for the Pet Shop Boys, who for 35 years have been, you could argue, the staple or a pioneer in the electronic dance music movement.
Yeah.
But this is on Cricket Life, Cricket Wife, excuse me. I keep calling it Cricket Life, but Cricket Wife is, this is more of an orchestral laden sound that they're going to bring in. It's definitely not that heavy synthesizer that you're used to, or, you know, the drum machines, which they're very good at, right? Yeah. There's still electronic elements in it, but it sounds more orchestral. It sounds like something you would hear in a theatrical type of show with the orchestra, as opposed to, you know, in the dance clubs. Right. It's kind of got a lot of shifting rhythms and melodies throughout the song. And it's a 10-minute track. It's a long track. And they released it. It's going to be part of their annual, like they released an annual series called Actually every year. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, you know, part of that Actually release. But I'm telling you, I was very impressed with this song. I'm a big Pet Shop Boys fan, but it was kind of good to see them kind of get out of their zone, because they've been doing what they've been doing for so long.
Like
I said, they're really good at, you either like them or you don't, right? I think they're really good at what they do. But this is something that's a big change of pace on that. So this single's out. You can get it on your streaming services already. I'd encourage you to check it out. They've also, and they released this a few months ago, there's a COVID-19 lockdown version of the West End Girls song.
All right.
A little different bit rhythm to it, but they kind of redid it a bit. And I think that's also available on the streaming services you can check out. So new Pet Shop Boys music coming out.
I'll have to check that out. I'll have to check it out. I've seen it. I haven't listened to it yet. So I'll have to.
I'm curious on your thoughts. You, I think it's like any Pet Shop Boys song. You're either going to like it or you're not. There's not an in-between, I find, with the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last thing is, I just wanted to mention, so we're at 1 year since the George Floyd death. And I heard that the other day, and it seems like it's gone fast. It seems at the same time that it's been a fast year, but it's also felt like, 10 years. Like, it seems like it's was forever ago, and it also seems like it's gone by really quickly. So I wanted to mention that.
Yeah. You know, I totally agree with you on that. I started seeing some things come out. I was down in Miami this week. I didn't see much of anything about it, but I did see stuff on the news about it in person. So that went fast, if you think about it.
It did.
Yeah.
Then you think back, and it seems like 10 years ago.
It does. I think I was telling you about the How About That Cigar guys. They did a whole show on that as well.
I watched that show.
It was good, right? And it was a tough show to do under those circumstances, but it's from their hometown. And they're music guys, by the way. We have to sometimes talk music.
Yeah, they had on that show as well.
Yeah, he really did. And, it's always hard when cigar has to cross that line. And I'm hesitant to do it at times, but this was right in their backyard, these guys. So I thought they did a very good job at presenting it. Under difficult circumstances, and it might have been things that, it's not normally things they do. They talk cigars, but felt they had to do it, so they got a good credit with that. It's a year, so a lot's happened. I think we're going through healing right now, which is good in the country, and I think we need that, at least in the U.S. Our guy healing is happening, which is very positive right now.
So once again, no easy transition.
Yeah,
we're gonna transition to road trips.
Yes,
road trips. Now for me, and then we'll get to Coop. What do you think? So for me, this is like a road trip mix. I think a lot of it depends on where you're going as well. So, I like to have tracks that mention the cities where I'm going. That's always a good thing. Like if I'm going to like Chicago or something. But I think you need different tracks for different moods. Like, I don't think it can be all one note. You got to have a variety of different moods to sort of like, match your trip. Always good to have some good night driving songs. Some songs just like really good for night driving, and we'll talk about that. It's good to have at least one power ballad, in my opinion, just a good power ballad. lots. You need some energy. Good references to places is always good. Or references to the road, like being on the road. You know, like on the road again, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a good one. And now I feel bad that's not on my mix because that would have been perfect. But
yeah, but, me too.
But songs like that and my key, Coop, and I'll know your thoughts, is that you should be able to sing to all of them. They should be songs that you know pretty well. You should be able to sing to all of them. Now, I have a song that's that's more of a techno song, but which kind of goes against that rule. But I think generally speaking, you want to be able to belt it out and sing to your road trip songs.
Yeah, I had that one on it. Very important. You want to be able to sing along with it.
So what's your perfect like road trip, when you think road trip mix, like what are your elements?
Well, you mentioned the energy piece, right? And you want to have some energy. And that energy doesn't have to always be high energy, right? But you mentioned this point, you want to turn it down with the power ballad. You want to capture the mood of where you are on the road. So there's songs that make a lot of sense driving on the open road in the desert, right? Or long stretch of plains or something like that. There's songs that are kind of more conducive if you're on a mountain drive. There's songs that are better at night. There's songs that are better along the coastline. So I think you always want to kind of try to work a little with the scenario with that, which is important. Now, we're not going to be able to go. I could probably say I could design a coastline road trip mix and a desert road. I couldn't do that. We'd be here all night. but we do that. You know, we think car, but there is motorcycles. Right? I've even seen some with bicycles and boats. So I mean, you could car is probably the most common one, because that's the most common mode of transportation. But certainly, you know, I'll talk about that. Motorcycles play a role, and some of these other things play a role as well. You have to be able to sing along for the most part with this. In a minimum, sing along with the chorus is what I say. Carpenters, the one from Tommy Boy. Where they're changing the radio and they can't find a song, and then they find the Carpenters and they just start singing along together with it. That's kind of what I think is really cool, is, you know, a good road trip song. If you're with people, you want to have consensus with them time of the day and part of the road trip is important. So there's certain songs that you want to kick off your road trip with. There's certain songs that are better at night. Certain ones are good at a rest stop, you know, so I think that comes into it. I mentioned the open road. I think desert driving is the coolest to have songs.
Ooh, that has to be very cool.
And I've just recently did that when I went west. There's some reason to western drives really just bring out the best. And the last thing is, a mix is important to order it. Now, I think today I put together 10 songs. I tried to order it. In reality, you and I were starting off with 7. We couldn't keep the 7. We went to 10. But in reality, when you have a road trip mix, you're going to probably have a 50 to 100 songs on there.
Blow that out, yeah.
Well, unless you're going to have a big variety of that. So, and you can have multiple lists. That's okay. But so I think ordering is important on the list. And I tried to order this for a short list the best I could.
No, I agree. I think the one point that you make, which I really connect with, is that idea of the mix is really dependent on what your trip is. So I think part of the trip is setting up your mix before you go.
Yeah.
You know, like you just can't just whack it on. Like, you know, setting up the mix as part of the trip. I love it.
Yeah, it is. Like when I did the trip out west, I had about 30 hours drive time of music set up each way. So there was quite a lot of music in there, because I think I had something like 500 songs.
Well, Spotify is great for this, like just making playlists and stuff.
Spotify is awesome. In fact, I used Spotify for the first time on this trip down to Florida, and I just used the randomizer actually for this one first. And then I put together my own list. And then when I drove from Miami to Orlando, I actually pulled up some of the jukebox lists we did, like from those weren't as planned out as like when I went from Charlotte down here, where I had a much more complete list. Well, when I went out west.
Well, kick us off, Coop. Get us started. We're gonna try and blast through our tracks here with not too much. We're not gonna have as much history as we usually do.
Right. We have a lot of songs here.
Yeah.
Look, I started off with an absolute kick-ass song. Now, it may be more suited for the motorcycle, but there's no reason why you can't put this in the car. You get started. Once you get on that like interstate and you're getting into the road trip, you kind of crank this one up, and it's Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
Yes.
I mean, you get the energy. This is kind of something I can play this song getting on the open highway. Or even if I'm going down and start my road trip down in urban, like driving down, even driving down Broadway in New York.
Yeah.
Right? You could just crank this song up, and guess what? You're singing the chorus of this song. You're singing along with this song. It gets you going, man. I know we played this song when we were in Vegas about 2 or 3 years ago. We were driving to Skip Martin's party. Seth, June, myself, and Surgeon. And this song came on, and we were just like, there's a there's a Facebook video where you can hear us like just cranking away to this song. And they didn't strip it down, which was good.
Go ahead, Coop.
Yeah, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah, another great Crue song that I was thinking was Kickstart My Heart's another good
Kickstart My Heart. Seth put that on when I was driving, and I basically just floored I think he told that story on the show when I floored it.
Yes. Coop and his Crue, man.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
but yeah, that's a good one too.
Love it. Well, I went with a similar vein. Like you wanna get the mix. You wanna start it off. You wanna get some energy. Starting it off, right? You're starting your trip, kicking it off. I went with the Doors and Roadhouse Blues.
Oh, well, that's a classic Dave road song. I could say, yeah.
That's right.
That's a great one.
I think it's the ultimate opening road trip song because it's all about driving on a road trip. And like the lyric on it is keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel.
Yeah.
And you just belt it out.
Yeah.
And because they're going to the roadhouse.
They're going to
have a real good time.
Yep.
Great energy. I love singing along to it. So yeah, if I'm kicking off a road trip, I'm going something that refers to the road. So yeah. Like Roadhouse Blues is sort of there.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great song. It's an absolute classic.
Now you have your next one is I saw this. I find this really interesting. This is a great pick.
This one you wouldn't expect. You probably wouldn't expect this one on there. I'll be honest. It was the first song I thought of when I put this list together.
Nice.
It's a Prince song, and it's a duet he does with Apollonia, and it's called "Take Me With You."
Oh, it's a great pick. Great track.
So this one, if you watch Purple Rain, this is when Apollonia gets on the motorcycle with him and they go driving off, right?
This is
the perfect song to have with your girl in the car, your wife in the car, whatever. You get in there and if you're taking that drive up the coast or just that long afternoon drive to the lake or whatever. Or if you're on a big road trip, right, and you're kind of getting into it and maybe you want to put the energy level down just a little.
Right.
This song is just... it's perfect, right? It's an easy song it's a short song. It's an easy song to sing along with, right? If you listen to that song, the melody, and you're watching the road ahead of you, there's something about that song that is almost like it creates a audio version of you being on a road.
Yeah.
To me, I don't. That's not a song I'd hear in a nightclub or anything. It's a road song that you go out there, and I know everyone talks about Purple Rain. This is the unsung. This is one of my favorite tracks off Purple Rain.
Great track.
Yeah, and that was my second pick. It was my first one I thought of, but I knew it wasn't a good starting song either.
No, see, and this is why I love doing the show with you, Coop, because I never would have thought of that song.
Yeah, no, you have a few.
That's a great song.
Yeah, no, thanks. And you have some good out-of-the-box ones I know we're going to be getting to, too.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So I'm on my road trip. I'm still getting I'm still locking in to being on the road. So I kept another sort of road trip type song or song that talks about being on the road. And that's Truckin' by the Grateful Dead.
Oh, yes.
And it's off of American Beauty, which is a great record. But it's a great, it's sort of like the first one. The reason I picked Roadhouse Blues, it's sort of like you're settling in, having a song about being on the road, getting to the groove with driving, but you're kicking the energy down a little bit.
Yes.
And just sort of like you're one with the road, you're just connecting to it. I really like the song, so it's great. It's a great sing-along song for me while I'm on the road. So I just, it's Truckin', man. Grateful Dead.
It's another one. The melody kind of is, you feel like you're on the road with it. I mean, I know the title sounds Truckin', but you feel like you're on the road with it.
I mean, it's got a good vibe to it. You just brought it up high. You're like, woo, I got the road. Now you're settling into the road trip a bit. So you say, yeah, I got to get some Truckin'.
Yeah, there you go.
Now your next song, as soon as I saw it, I felt shame for not thinking of the song before, but it is perfect.
Well, I didn't think of this one either. When we had Jeff Borshowitz on Primetime on Thursday night, I was over at his office. He suggested this song, and I'm like, I didn't have it. Oh, this is perfect. And when you said expanded to 10, I'm like, thank goodness, because I was trying to figure out which one I was going to knock off. Right? Yeah, this one's like an ultimate road trip song. It's Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a song about a road trip in a lot of ways, right? I mean, it's a song that's perfect to being in the car. You could sing along to it. You know, he talks about, you know, he and then Del Shannon singing Runaway. You know, it's just, you feel like you're on the road. This is the kind of song, like I said, it works. I think it's a daytime song, first of all. And it's kind of one of those where maybe you're driving west and you're hitting a long stretch of like central Arkansas or Kansas. And I don't, that's from Full Moon Fever, which is, you know, Tom Petty's, I think, best album to date. And to me, it's a quintessential road trip song. Jeff nailed it with that one. So I said, absolutely, that one's got to be on there. And I want to credit Jeff for thinking of that one.
No, I didn't think of that.
Jeff's a big road trip guy, by the way. He takes like big cross country road trips with his, you know, he's known for that. Yep. Like 3 or 4 week ones.
We're going to have to do another road trip show. Thinking about this, there's so many songs that I forgot to put on here.
A quick question for you. Have you done like a major Australian road trip? Have you gone across? Yeah.
We've gone like up the coast of Queensland. So Queensland as a state is as big as the East Coast in the US. Okay. So when I say we went from one end of the state to the other, it's not like driving from like one end of like Rhode Island to the other.
Right. You probably went from like,
we went from where we're at to up north, which is like 2 days. It's like 20 hours or something.
Oh, okay. That's a significant.
And then we went to New Zealand in a camper van. And had a camper van for like a week and had like road trip mixes for that.
Okay. But you've never done the drive to Perth or Fremantle?
Not straight across. My wife has. I have not.
Okay.
Through the desert and stuff? No.
Yeah. Okay.
I have driven to places. I have driven out west or north, Northern Territory. Like when you get in the desert, I have driven in the desert and you get these signs that are like, you know, the next gas station. And it is coming, and it'll be like last gas station for like 500 miles or something.
Wow. Yeah, we have.
It's like, oh, you gotta fill up.
Yeah, when you get to New Mexico and Arizona, you start to see big gaps of that too.
But no, I love that trip.
I was just curious. Yeah, I didn't mean to digress, but I was kind of curious of that one.
Hey, love a good road trip digression.
Uh-huh.
I'm picking the energy up here, Coop.
Okay.
So I'm in the stage of the road trip. I need a pick-me-up. Maybe I had my first break, I got a soda or something or coffee, and I'm like, right, need a bit of a pick-me-up. And I went with Public Enemy, Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Very, very like off the beaten track, but I see what you were doing with it.
So you got, you know, the energy is really bringing it. It's a pretty well-known track, so you probably know the chorus. You know, you might know some, I mean, you know, some lyrics. It's great energy, great beat. I think hip hop works well on a road trip because you got that bass and stuff really sort of pushing you through. And yeah, no, it's a great track. It's off of, I think it's Fear of a Black Planet in 1990, I believe. Yeah, I think it is. And so, yeah, so I say, so that's my next track. Bit of PE.
Yeah, and that was an interesting one. I think it's one you could play at night. You could play that one daytime. It almost has a futuristic vibe to it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you were on a space trip one day, right? You could actually, that song would work too, I think.
Oh, yeah. I got another track for your space trip
next. Yep. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I know which one it is. Yeah.
But this, so that was off the beat track for you. This one's off the beat track for me.
Yeah. This is a one-hit wonder from, like, I think 1978. The song is called Shake It. It's by Ian Matthews. He's a British artist. This is a one-hit wonder. This song, it's kind of got a very smooth beat to it. It's smooth, but it's up-tempo beat. The whole idea of shake it, you know, shake it, baby, shake it all you can. But it kind of just, if you're on a long stretch of road, again, if you're in the, whether you're in the Midwest or in the desert, you can play this. It kind of feels like you could, you know, you're not going through. It's not a song I'd say playing in traffic. I'm going to talk about a song where if you hit traffic, that would work, right?
Nice.
But this is not one you would play in traffic. You can play it at night as well. It's a great track, too. Ian Matthews was a true one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
This was his only hit. I think this broke the top 10. And I encourage you to give it a listen, see what you think of it. I love this song. This is a song I used to, when I bicycle rode and I had a Walkman, I used to listen to this song when I was climbing on a bike.
Nice.
Because it had that shake it and you had that rhythm as you kind of getting out of the saddle and climbing. Right. So this was a song that worked for me on a bicycle, during the Walkman days. Not the Discman days, the Walkman.
No,
days.
Walkman.
You know, you have this on your cassette. Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah.
Younger listeners, you might need to explain what Walkman is, but I think, and you talk about that. I think a great point is like the road trip mix is kind of the is kind of the sacred home of the one hit wonder. You know?
Yes.
Because like you'll have a lot of one hit wonders on your road trip mix, because a lot of people know them, they're very popular, and they're usually quite got a good energy to them. I mean, the song that came to mind is Buck Owens with King of the Road.
Yeah,
like a lot of people don't know that song exists other than when it's in a movie about someone on a road trip or when they're on a road trip.
Yes,
so it's sort of like the one hit wonder has a great is very welcome on the road trip mix.
I agree.
It's not good work. I love it. I had to go a bit of reggae, and I really like the song a lot. Reggae is a good road trip genre, I think, because you're getting a good vibe. You're on the road. It's kind of upbeat, but you can kind of zone out to it a little bit as well. I went with Peter Tosh, actually. I think it's because I use Bob Marley so much. I wanted to kind of broaden the horizon.
Yeah.
I went Peter Tosh. And Wanted Dead or Alive. And I think this is like right after, or not, maybe not right after. It's a little bit after he left the Wailers, or Bob Marley and the Wailers. So it's his own solo stuff. It's just a great reggae, it's really great, a great vibe to it. And it's a very sort of call and repeat type chorus. So the structure of it is very repetitive. Well, that's a good thing on a road trip because you can learn the song very quickly, even if you've never heard it, and you can sing along to the chorus quite easily and just kind of vibe out to it. And it's your classic reggae themes of like, you know, running from the law, and marijuana's in there somewhere probably because it's Peter Tosh, and it's a great track. I love it.
Wanted I love that Live. Track. Yeah, that was another out of the box track. I thought, you know, but it works really well.
Oh.
I thought it really worked well. I could see that, how it fits in there.
Yeah. I think you got to have reggae somewhere on a road trip mix somewhere.
Right. I agree.
Oh,
Okay.
I'm loving your tracks coming out, by the way. Okay. You've been strong on your road trip, mate.
Thanks. Another one-hit wonder, but you need a song at the rest stop.
You do.
Okay. You need a song if you get a stop at a highway rest stop or a restaurant outside, or if you're going to go get ice cream or whatever, and you want to keep the tunes going in the car. And this is where you kind of slow it down a bit. You don't need to have a heavy, high energy, or even like a faster paced song. And this one I picked was Walter Egan's Magnet and Steel.
Nice.
This was a song in the late 70s. It was made popular in the movie Boogie Nights. And they're riding around in I think it was an RV. I forget what they were, but you know, you see, it's a slow song. It's a power ballad, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. You know, it's got the, for you are a magnet and I am your steel is the line. It's got a lot of these, ooh, and it's just,
yeah.
When you're at a rest stop, you need to bring it down. Okay.
Yeah.
So this would be the song that I would say, play it at the rest stop. At that point, you know, if you could time it out, put it on under the rest stop. And, it's a great track. It's got a lot of, it's a classic 70s track. And I don't know if Walter Egan had any more hits after that. This is the only one
I don't think so.
I don't think he did that. I think he's another, like Ian Matthews, a true one-hit wonder. But as you said, they work on these types of mixes here.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hear you think about that. I used to love, when I was in the States, my favorite rest stops were the ones in Illinois, like going to Chicago, that were like those bridges that went across the highway.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you drive up and it would have a gas station, a rest stop, and it would have, like, the whole thing, the mall was like a bridge that went across the highway.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you had your restaurant, you had your, you know, like your Popeyes or your McDonald's in there, and you'd have, like, a little, like, drugstore where you could get, like, you know, magnets that say Chicago on them and stuff. I love those restaurants. I love
them. I do, too. They're really awesome. Yeah, when you find that.
I'm picking the energy up again, Coop. Picking the energy up.
Okay.
And we're going with Beyonce, who Beyonce is great for any road trip mix. Very versatile, because she has songs that kind of bring it down, songs that pick it up. A lot of people know her songs. Great to sing along to. Very versatile road trip artist. And I went going off something off of the Lemonade record, and that's Freedom, which is with Kendrick Lamar. Uh-huh. And it's got like organ on it from Jack White. He's got like this Hammond organ. So the organ's going, its energy is crazy. The chorus is just screaming the word freedom, and you can like just like belt it out.
Good single again, good sing along with that.
Oh yeah. That's great. I love that. And it's got all the sort of good ticks off all the good notes for a road trip track.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that pick. It was interesting when I saw you had the pick. I went and played it because I just wanted to hear it for myself. It really worked, and it definitely did.
That chorus, man.
Yeah.
It was interesting because you said it before. Like some songs, and I'll get to another one here of mine, but really they're only on the road trip for the chorus. And like the chorus is just so perfect.
Yeah.
That the rest of the song is just filler. Until you get to the chorus.
It is. And there's a point where you'll just listen to the song and then you'll join in on the chorus. It's kind of like. And that's what, if you're doing that, whether you're by yourself or even better with a group, that's nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Coop?
This is okay. So let me share this picture.
Picture. This is the cover of the show.
Of the show. Okay. So what you're looking at here is you're looking at Interstate 40. In Arizona, and the mountains there are basically Flagstaff's right there. So I took this picture with the GoPro.
Right.
And this is a classic. You're riding into the desert and you're riding into this like mountain area, which is really cool. Well, there is a song I played. I've been to this drive a few times, and there's a song that I played it. I don't know what made me put it on. I actually had it downloaded, but I just thought of this song and I went and switched to the track, and it's the Black Eyed Peas, Meet Me Halfway.
Mm.
I don't know if it was just kind of this nighttime feel as sunset was happening in the desert. the whole idea is meet me halfway. As I'm this mountain is, it seems like it's like you're looking at this mountain for like 30 miles, right? You're like, meet me halfway, right on the borderline. It's just there's some energy happening here. You want that energy because this is my destination, right? I want that energy, but that song was like fueling my energy. It was the best way to explain it. And it just fit in perfect with this sundown scenario is the best way I could put it. And when I did the drive last time, the Flagstaff, a few months ago, I put that song on again. It's just, I think it's a song as you're kind of getting to your destination. You play it later in the day, but it fuels a little energy with you. And it's my favorite Black Eyed Peas song. I love that song. It's got like, you know, it's got some of the hip hop elements. It's got Fergie's voices on target with it. I love it. So that was the inspiration for that picture. And I wanted to share it at that point.
No, great. That's a great picture. Great song. Great story. All that was great. Picture just looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my next pick is kind of opposite. <of that. laughs> So I said I like night driving songs. There's another song we'll have that's a good night driving song.
Yep. I have one too. Yep.
This song, perfect night driving song. It's the Crystal Method.
Oh, this was another. Like I Do. This was another out of box one. Yeah.
So it's Crystal Method, Trip Like I Do. So it's sort of like your electric dance, like techno sort of stuff from the '90s, mid '90s, I think. Yeah. Maybe
futuristic.
Even later
had a futuristic vibe to it. I liked it. Yeah.
I think it's like '97, maybe. Anyway, I think it's in there. It's off of their record, Vegas. But like the song, you could just picture yourself at night. Like I'm thinking, like night in Vegas or something. Just like neon lighting up the street. Just like neon soaked everywhere. Just at night. Just all you got is black and neon, and this song is perfect. So it's a perfect sort of night driving song. During the day, it doesn't really work that great. This is one for me, it's one of the songs that works really well at night.
Yes, I would agree. It definitely has a spin for, and that's some of these songs do work better at night. Like that Black Eyed Peas song, it's a sun for me, it's a sunset song. It's not a first rising sun song I'm doing.
Yeah. Your next track, I love that you picked this song. I love everything about it.
Holy cow, you know. Robert Smith, man, we talk about Hall of Fame. Why isn't this guy being considered for the Hall of Fame and then The Cure?
That's a good point.
This song, here's the deal. I have a vision with this song. You, me, Tuna, Surgeon, Aaron, Bear.
Yeah.
We're hanging out somewhere like in L.A.
Yeah.
And we're going to get in the convertible. Yeah. We're going to drive to Vegas.
Right? Nice.
And we have the top down on the convertible.
Don't stop till Vegas.
The wind blowing, and this song comes on. It to me, that's what this song is, right? It's just, it's a moment. This is the song I you're blowing through the wind with this song. And it's hot. Again, you turn the energy back up on this song. This is such a masterpiece of a song too.
Oh, yeah.
I could do a show on this song. It's so good. Everything from the melodies to the lyrics. But it's a great song. Think about in the car. Pick. And I think it's something about having the top down with this car where I want to hear this song. To me, this is
just
and did I say the song was just like heaven? I don't even know if I said that. It's just like heaven is a song, by the way. Yeah. So minor detail, yeah, right.
That's a phenomenal song. Like I gotta say, Coop, because I know Coop's notes because I'm looking at him right now, but he brings it strong to the end of his mix. Strong.
Oh, I got what do I got? I got three more. Yeah.
He takes it right to the rim. Just goes strong, which I appreciate.
No, you did a great job. This is a lot. I mean, I'm enjoying like comparing our list and everything, so this is great.
Now I said power ballad. This song kind of fills that power ballad role for me. My pick, it's not like technically a power ballad, but it has that same role. Like if you listen to it, the structure is essentially the same. This is another song where the lyrics for me, the verses are just filler until you get to the chorus. I love the chorus of this song. I only like the song because of the chorus. I can listen to the chorus over and over and over. And that is Duran Duran, Ordinary World.
Yes.
I love this chorus so much. So much, Coop. I love it.
I never thought of this as a road trip song until now. And when you put it in there and kind of, and I'll let you talk a little more, perfect. Because I love this. I love this song, and this is my favorite Duran Duran album, too, up there.
But you have a car full of people, which I have had on road trips, just belt out the chorus of the song, and it is like the best thing in the world.
It is.
Oh.
It is. And you think about it, this was a big change of pace for Duran Duran. This is when they started to move out of the MTV world at this point.
Yeah.
And it is. And it's a great song. It's you turn it down a little. Not quite. I understand what you're saying. Not quite a power ballad, but man, it is. I mean, this is something like after seeing. Yes, this goes on the road trip mix. Now, this is how have I eliminated this from a road trip? Because this is such a great, great song, and it's a. That whole album, Dave, I don't know how much this is a top to bottom album I've listened to.
Right.
I love this album. This is the wedding album by Duran Duran.
I think where it fills that role of power ballad that I like is it has that sort of like how the verse is built to the chorus, you know? Like, it's not like a ballad, but it's like the verses start, you know, kind of slower in a ballad type form. But then the chorus like really puts it over the top. It gets that power ballad sort of vibe to it. And that chorus, man, you just like go for your life on the chorus.
You do. It's kind of a little bit of an emotional type of chorus in a lot of ways. Mm. It's gut wrenching it a little bit, you know?
Oh, I love that. Love that chorus.
That is being added to my mix for sure. As well as all these, but that one especially was a great pick.
See, this next track is where Coop takes the ball at the top of the key, puts a little move. He's on to Tecumpo. He puts a move on Jimmy Butler, and he just goes. He's going straight to the rim, all the way to the end, right here. Yeah. This track.
Right. All right. So listen, I've talked about open road trips, right? But road trips are gonna go. You're gonna go through Atlanta. You're going to go to cities like Dallas, Oklahoma City. Yeah. Maybe you're going up north and you have to drive through New York. Well, most notably, you're driving to Detroit. And you need a song to drive in the city. So, I mean, I have to include this song. It's Aretha's Freeway of Love. It's the unofficial theme song of Coop. And this is the song you play when you're in traffic or you're trying to swerve, like or Seth will say, me swerving through traffic, right?
I've heard about that
song. You need that. It's got the Motown beat. It's Aretha. I mean, to me, I this was when Aretha had some of those hits in the late 80s. Oh, this was just, to me, it's an anthem. And I, like I said, I saved this for, I've used this driving through Jacksonville when on this trip, driving through Nashville and Memphis on the West trips. And it's Aretha. It's Freeway of Love.
Oh, it's just – see, that's what I'm saying. Coop's going strong to the hoop.
You need a city driving song. That's kind of – you have to – I have too many – you got to have some city driving songs. So this is one. Yep.
I think my next track – what was in what? The movie Almost Famous?
Oh, I almost had this one too. I was like, I'm so glad you included this one.
It's a classic one. It's very versatile, day, night, urban, rural. It doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
This song is perfect road trip song. That's Elton John with Tiny Dancer, which I think is on the road, like on the tour bus for Almost Famous, isn't it?
So it is a scene. That's it. At the end of the movie. It's Cameron Crowe and, you know, they all start singing it on the bus at the end. Cameron Crowe, Kate Beckinsdale turns to Cameron Crowe and says, you are home.
Yeah. And that's when he was, the story about it was what he was reported for the Rolling Stone or something.
He was like a kid basically. And he kind of got the tour with Rolling Stone, magazine.
Yeah,
and everyone's singing on the bus at that point. And so we, you know, and this broke, Dave, this was kind of a little too close to home, but I'll say this. So, you know, we just talked about Big Scott. So Big Scott used to host cigar boat cruises on Lake Norman.
Nice.
Right. And on one of those cruises, when we were coming into the dock, we all sang along to this song. And I was like, I couldn't believe you included it. I was like, so yeah, it's kind of a song that you kind of wind down the road trip with, is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's good in the middle.
Yeah.
The middle of a road trip.
Right.
I love this track. This for me too is like peak Elton John is sort of around this time. Like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, like those sorts of records.
Yeah, Man Across the Water. This is Burn Down the Mission Tank. Yeah, this is for peak me, this Elton is John. Peak. This is Elton, peak
for me. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, Tim McGraw does an incredible version of this song.
Though. Oh yeah. I mean, it's just such a great song.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's, you know, count the high, you know, lights, count the down the highway. I'm blowing the lyrics. I'm not gonna try.
It's the same sort of vibe as Ordinary World in that, like, musically it's not like high energy, but his voice is so
passionate
and powerful.
That it's emotional. It kind of, a road trip can be emotionally draining on you because it's going to be long. And this is kind of something that feeds a little energy back in to recharge you, I think.
Talking about energy.
Count the headlights down the highway.
So we're talking energy. We're talking vibe. We're talking Coop now. So he's taking Jimmy Butler off the top of the key. He's going to the rack. He's going to the hoop. He's now about sort of like, you know, kind of by the foul line. And with his next track, which is by Kid Rock,
Kid Rock,
interesting pick. I did not expect this pick from you.
This is a cool pick. We used to go up to the lake a lot. We always go to lakes a lot. I mentioned Lake Norman, but when I lived in New York, we go up to the lakes. And you know, this is kind of it's a summer type of song, and this is a song I can maybe envision driving in a boat in more, a motorboat, but I can see it in the car as well. It's Kid Rock's All Summer Long, which is a mashup. Okay. It's a mashup of the Werewolves of London and Sweet Home Alabama. And he puts it together, and man, he creates something that you could have as a road trip song, a boat trip song. If you want to be on the motorcycle, you could probably do it. To me, this song is, It's a fantastic song. It's a summer road trip song. Yeah. So when I was taking the trip out west in February, I don't know if I didn't put this one on, but this trip, you know, makes a lot of sense to put it. You can play this song anywhere in the country though, because you know he's from Michigan. You got Sweet Home Alabama, you know, and you kind of got a good mix of the norths and souths where you can play it, It's a brilliant mashup too, because sometimes mashups I think are forced a little too hard. This was really well done with it, and makes for a great road trip. Really, any time of the day with that song.
Yeah, in music, summertime is really a fertile ground, I guess, for some great like pop songs about summer. Like Will Smith did a bunch of them. Sheryl Crow did some. Like there's great sort of summer pop songs, which are great road trip songs. So summer songs are quite good.
Yeah, I mean, Britain's got the Christmas number one. We don't have an official summer number one, but there's always that one song or that one band like that captures the vibe of the summer in the U.S. And you know, it's varied from year to year. And I think it's, you know, again, I think you take more road trips in the summer, so you're gonna have, you know, more of a, you know, option. Like I said, part of that road trip I took earlier in the year, I was going through some like 16 degree days in New Mexico. So this song, love the song, but I don't know if I would have played it then. But yeah, it's a, if you have a summer road trip mix, this song has to be on it.
Oh yeah, Beach like Boys as well would be a good summer road trip.
Oh yeah, I almost put God Only Knows on this as well.
Oh,
I came very close to putting God Only, and that will be, we'll have another show I'm sure on this. So
for me, you can put God Only Knows on anything. And it's phenomenal. That's
Did you see the BBC medley they've done of that?
No.
Oh yeah, that's a really good one. They have a whole bunch of artists singing it in a medley.
God, that song is so good.
Yeah.
I love that. We gotta do an album archaeology on Pet Sounds.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know if it's on the list, but we've talked about it. But we could get that one in. I know we have that one.
Finally got that on vinyl.
I know we have that in Peter Gabriel, the two we're looking at right now coming up. Well, Peter Gabriel, I know, is one we have coming up.
I just got that record on vinyl.
Wow.
Love it. Just got it. Right. Anyhow, that's a digression. Uh-huh. But it's me. It's Primetime Jukebox. So, you know, I'm not going to decide to take this time to break a 39 show streak. And I'm going to have my next song be Dolly Parton with Jolene. You can pick a lot of them. 9 to 5 would be a good one as well, I think. But Jolene, it's got a good energy. A lot of people know it. It's very famous. So it's a great sing-along song. And it's just a great track. I have it here near the end because maybe you're kind of down on energy. You need something to pick you up a bit, but you can't really go too hard. So you just sort of pick the energy up a bit. It's a nice song. It's short. I think it's like 3 minutes maybe or something. So you're like, you know, it's a good kind of quick song. Everybody likes to sing along to it. And Dolly's great. Country music in general on the road is quite good.
This Okay, I see a fit with this song. It's you're getting off the highway,
mm-hmm.
but you have to. You're kind of maybe trying to reach a destination, whether it's a restaurant, a hotel, and you're going through. The speed limit comes down a bit, but you still want to have some music going in the car. This song was great for it, and you want to have that sometimes on the road trip songs too. So I see it. I definitely agree with you on that.
Road trip in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Whack this song on.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I've been charting Coop's final couple songs here. So he's taken Jimmy Butler off the top of the key. He's on to the Kumpo. He's like, we're going to seal 4-0 Milwaukee Bucks, my hometown team. Thank you very much. He's taking him off. Kid Rock, he's got the ball. And now this last track, he just throws it. He's on the rim. He's hanging over Butler. Like he's throwing it down on him with this track, because this track is the closer. Like there's no doubt about it. He's throwing it down hard with this track.
You need a song to come home to.
Goku.
You need that final song when you reach home. And you're probably going to get home later in the day towards night. And that's Take Me Home by Phil Collins. It's the ultimate closer track for a road trip.
Throwing it hard down, hard.
And that, you know, people don't know a lot about that track, but Sting and Peter Gabriel do background vocals on that track.
Do they?
Yes, they do. So I love the track. You know, and it just has that, look, the tempo's down. You don't need the high energy because you're heading home at this point. But you want something that's going to kind of inspire you for what home's all about. And this is the closer track. It's a closer track for Phil Collins. It's a closer track for me here. Amazing track. I mean, I couldn't think of it. Like, I remember when I used to, even when I was at college, right? I drive back from college and I'd somehow time it where I could get this song on, or I'd put it on at the last minute where I could time it where I'm actually pulling it to my parents' house. That was and it was usually at night when I was doing it. So yeah, it's a closer. Phil Collins, Take Me Home from the No Jacket Required album.
Oh yeah, that's a great track. I'm gonna talk later about that track. How that track set me in this like spiral wormhole last night. But it's a great track. I love that. You finished strong. I mean, and you bring up a great point. Like if you're finishing the road trip, you gotta finish strong. And you got to have a song that references coming back home. Like, that's the whole thing.
You do. Yep, we do. You have to have the bookends. Yep.
Yep, you got to have the bookends. And so we start off the bookend with Roadhouse Blues. We're on the road. We're going. I'm ending it with John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Road. Because I love songs that reference places. Another good, you could do the Maytals, Toots and the Maytals cover the song. You can use that as a replacement if you like.
Yeah.
But you can sing along to it really well. It references places, which is great for a road trip song. And it's all about going back home. And, you know, Take Me Home, Country Road, and you're going home. And it's just a phenomenal track to end a road trip with.
Oh, it's a fantastic song. You know, I agree. Yeah, John Denver, I think it's very underappreciated.
Yeah.
I love that track. I mean, Rocky Mountain High is a
Oh, yeah.
Official song of Colorado still. I mean,
well, it's a great song.
It's a great song, yeah. I mean, and I can, you know, I think when I haven't done a road trip to Colorado, but if I was doing a road trip for Colorado, that song has to be on him. And Take Me on Country Roads, that's West Virginia. Oh. Now, obviously, yeah. So, it's, you know. But it has it's a closer. It's a great closer track, yeah.
Great closer. I think, too, like, your picture as well. Like, if you're in the country, if you're doing a lot of country driving, I have a section of country, like, wide open country for your road trip. Acoustic sort of folk country music is a great road trip music. Like, your John Denver, get, you know, Willie Nelson, even if you go, like, Dolly or Loretta Lynn. You get country, you get folk, like some Joni Mitchell tracks. They're great for those like open road, you know, flat stretch of road for a while sort of songs. Oh. So Coop, now I'm gonna start off with my final thoughts.
Yep.
And you just strong. So Coop went really strong at on the final part of his list. Like The Cure, Aretha, like just strong. And I'm like, oh, that Phil Collins song. Let me call up No Jacket Required. So I call it up and I just like the Take Me Home, the Don't Lose My Number.
Oh.
I was listening to Against All Odds, which is a phenomenal song, which isn't on No Jacket Required. And then I was listening to like, and then I went down this rabbit hole. I listened to Peter Gabriel's So Again. I listened to Genesis record, Invisible Touch. And I'm
great
like,
album. Great. Yeah.
I'm like, I could just have these on rotation on a road trip. They're like perfect. I loved it. It was great. So you sent me down this like hour and a half rabbit hole of like Phil Collins and Phil Collins related music.
We should add No Jacket Required to the list at some point about Malgiati. There's a lot to that album.
Oh yeah.
It's a great album.
Oh, yeah, it's a great album. For me, No Jacket Required, I'm not a huge Phil fan, but it's sort of like No Jacket Required for me, like, exists in a vacuum where, like, that's that album to me, I love. I really associate it a lot with my childhood because when I was, like, I don't know, how old would I have been? 12 or something?
All right.
When I first started, when you first start getting the music outside of what your parents play and you start listening to your own stuff, I love that record, and I heard it on the radio a lot. Loved it.
It was a fantastic album. And you know, there's like a lot of, you know, gems that you dig for on that one. You know, there is Who Said I Would on there. Doesn't Anybody Stay Together Anymore on there?
Yeah.
Inside Out. I mean, there's some really.
I mean, he kicks it off with Sussudio, which is like the ultimate pop track.
Pop track, I made up a word. I just made up a word, right? You know, it's like it's some, you know, there's one night, one more night of the soft ballad, you know. Only you know what I know. He uses those horns so well in that album too, combined obviously with his stellar drumming and his quirky vocals. I think just make that album really good.
But like if you're doing a road trip, man. I'm telling you, Against All Odds, you can't go wrong.
Against All Odds is, you know, that's when you need to take it down a notch. Absolutely. Oh,
the chorus of that, too. Just like Ordinary World.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Great.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what were your final thoughts, Coop? Mine was like, I just started like listening to Phil Collins all night long.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got a lot of things that you kind of made me think. Maybe when I do a road trip list, there's things I can put in there. You had the two opening tracks you had were really, really strong. I mean, and I think one and two were the perfect positions. You know, Roadhouse Blues first, Truck in second. To me, that was really good. You had those out of the box futuristic things with you know, Welcome to the Terror Dome by Public Enemy and Crystal Meth's Trip Like I Do. I mean, they just were, those were really cool, and I can see fitting them in there as well. Tiny Dancer was really good. You could put that in. You could argue that's a closer song in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But man, I think I was just, I already mentioned earlier about when we closed the boat trip up with that. It was fantastic. I mentioned Ordinary World. Totally agree with you on that. I'll probably go back and listen to the Wedding album later today because I haven't listened to it probably in a few months. I knew Dolly was going to make the list somehow. I was wondering which Dolly tune it was going to be.
Yeah.
So, but I will say this, I kind of look at there's other segments of a road trip. And I think that one scenario that I would look at is Dolly fits in. There's songs you could fit in when you get off the highway and you're kind of going local for a while. So I think I like it. I like it. So this was a fun exercise. For sure. Let us know what your favorite road trips things are. I think maybe we'll make this a thing we do before every summer now. Because we only did 10 and there's hundreds. Like I said, I have 500 on one of mine.
Oh yeah, we gotta do it again. And send it in. Email cigarjukebox@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Send it in.
Yep.
What we missed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And now we got new music coupe.
Yeah, so our new music segment is sponsored by Cigar Hustler, located about 0.9 miles from where I am in Deltona, Florida. I'll be going there on Tuesday. I'll talk about that in a second. It's run by Mike and Greg. They do a great job there. Great selection of cigars, great place to go smoke. Just good people there. If you can't get there, you can go to cigarhustler.com and get on their mailing list, and they've been active on the mailing list, and we've mentioned it all the time. They put their specials out there.
Yep.
Get on them fast. They're the ones that really do go fast when they're out there. So definitely do that. And of course, if you can't if you can't get enough of those guys, you can listen to the A Cigar Hustlers podcast that they do.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't gotten there yet. Mike and those guys are down at Weasel Fest. So, Dave, I was going to see if we could do the show from there with Hustler Mike, but I think Kim and Palmer are at Weasel Fest right now. Well, I know they're at Weasel Fest.
Yeah.
So, so I'm going to go there on Tuesday. We actually extended this trip a day. So, so we could do this because I felt bad that I wasn't going to be able to see Mike with him being at Weasel Fest, and I should have thought of that. So I want to at least say hello to those guys, and I may sneak in there before they get back for sure. But they're open. But yeah, so definitely check them out, and they're the sponsor of our New Music 45 segment.
Yeah, give me some. If you're listening to this, Mike, pick me up some of those Weasel Fest cigars, would you? But I just ordered from them. I got a fiver of. The hot cake, the hot chocolate. So the Toro, I believe in that. Or is it double Corona? Something like that. I got that. And I got the Sabretooth from Romacraft.
Ooh. I did see they went. They must have went fast. Yeah.
That's a good cigar. For those who don't know, it's a barber pole and Aquitaine blend. And it's in that same, EMH size?
Yep.
It's great size. I love that cigar. It's a very good cigar. I picked fibers up from that, and I picked up some Connecticut Room 101 Paybacks.
Good cigar, isn't it?
I think Matt does a good Connecticut.
He does. He does it's a very smooth, buttery Connecticut, I thought.
Coop and I are big fans of the original Room 101 Connecticut that Churchill.
Oh, yeah, I wish that would come back. That was a great cigar.
Bring it back, Matt. It's a great cigar.
Yeah, it was.
So I just picked some up. Your cigar, I'm about that far
down. Yeah, we didn't get an update. So what were your experience with this cigar?
Oh, I was just getting into the music. It's great. It's very smooth. I think, I'm all the way down. As it progressed, it kind of settled more into that grassy, a little bit spicy. Really creamy, really smooth. Some coffee, some chocolate, which you don't expect from a Candela. You're right.
I would agree with you on that. There is a little bit of a chocolate component you get off.
I think so. I agree with you that it's not super strong. I mean, it's enough that it's not like weak. I mean, I'd say it's medium, maybe.
It's not Fomorian or wasabi. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it's enough of a kick to keep your interest going.
Yep.
But oh, smoked really well. Construction's great. I mean, you smoke a Lancero a bit differently than you'd smoke like the EMH or something.
Right. I agree.
So, you know, you're smoking it a bit differently. Yep. But no, it's excellent. Excellent cigar.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And like I said, I mean, I'm smoking it all the way down. And I just have to do this rant really quick, and then I'll get into the music.
Okay.
This is my Candela rant.
A Candela
to
rant?
To people that hate Candelas. Candela is a fragile wrapper, but everybody's like, oh, I hate Candelas because I smoke it and they split all the time and they stink and blah, 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 blah. This cigar, not one crack in the wrapper during the whole smoking experience. Like, sometimes I get cracks, but rarely are they like, you know, catastrophic. So just store your cigars well. Don't bump them around and you'll be fine.
There you go. I had bought that. I had gotten a sampler from Corona Cigar, and I bought, it was like an Irish whiskey sampler, and they had a bunch of Candelas. So I think I sent you all the Candelas, but the Corona 20th anniversary one.
Yeah.
But I sent you, that was with the Camacho was in there.
Ooh, got the Camacho.
And then I sent you another one besides the, or I forget what the other one was I sent. Oh, the Alec Bradley.
Alec Bradley, the filthy. Yes. That's a good cigar. Yeah. But a lot of people are like, oh, they crack.
Yeah.
They don't. Store your cigars properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Check your humidor.
Take care of your candle and smoke your candelas quicker. So that's what I would say. Don't let them sit too long.
Yeah.
You let the candela be your friend is what I'll say, because they are good. And Dave, you now have a reputation, just like I tell you, for being like a world authority. And I'm not kidding. Like, people know you love candelas, and they know. Yeah. So
send them over.
Yep, exactly.
Send them over. Yep. But excellent. Excellent cigar. Yep. And what I love about it really quick is that the candela wrapper, I like it when the candela wrapper adds a dimension to the blend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
it's not like it kicks the blend up a notch as opposed to like just being grassy for grassy's sake, I guess.
Like the pickle juice was a good example. The Moira Ruiz pickle juice was really good about that.
Yeah. I had that ever ago.
Yeah.
Bring that cigar back too, would you?
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Get onto it, Hector. You got free
time. Hector. I didn't see any bar proposals in the queue with Hector when I was there. I saw other stuff, but not that.
Music. Okay, side A. I have a review on the site. The track is The Linda Lindas is the band. The track is Racist Sexist Boy.
There you go.
And this is a track. So this is a punk band made up of Asian American and Latin American girls, all between the ages of 16 and 10. Or 10 and 16, I should say.
Hmm.
And they played this track live at an LA public library. So it's just this punk rock band in the middle of a library, like just going nuts. And it's very West Coast, very Bikini Kill. And the reason was that one of the girls had an experience of a boy telling her that he has to stay away from Chinese people. And it was this big thing. And she wanted to express her emotions about that interaction in the song. So she wrote the song. And I love it because it's just this group of girls just going for it. And that's what I love about music. And I love the song.
Great, great pick. Yeah.
So check it out. I got a review on the site. You can probably, since they played this song, like Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello loved the song. And they've been signed to a label. They've been signed to Epitaph Records, I think.
Nice.
And speaking of Epitaph Records, we'll get to side B.
There you go.
Which we're going to stay with the punk theme. And that's The Descendants with Baby Don't You Know. And it is a single coming off their upcoming record, Ninth and Walnut, which is the address of their studio space.
It's Philadelphia. And,
yeah. And people know The Descendants from like 80s punk, you know?
Yes.
And they've been working on this record since like 2002. Their guitarist died in 2008. And they sort of finished it up around then. It's a combination of new tracks plus some re-records of tracks from the 70s and early 80s that they've done. So I think it's really exciting for punk fans because Descendants is a big punk name. So Trippie Trent is pretty excited out there, I imagine. So I think it's exciting. to listen to these re-records of earlier songs.
I'm totally in agreement with you on that.
And plus hearing some new stuff. And the new track, the track is really good. It's like a minute and a half. It's a really good track. So check that out. Descendants. Absolutely. I don't know when it's coming out. July maybe? But
we'll keep an eye on it. We'll have to keep an eye on it. Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
Absolutely.
Podcast to check out. If you're a Danger Mouse fan, there's a podcast in Australia called the J Files, because there's a radio station here called Triple J. And it features like one music theme every week or so. Like they did one on supergroups, which was really interesting. And it's like an hour long talking about supergroups and interviewing people and stuff. And the latest one is on Danger Mouse.
Oh,
which is an exciting artist producer who's done a lot of great music from like the early 2000s till now. Really interesting story. So if you're into Danger Mouse, it's good to check out. And that's the J Files.
Yeah, Danger Mouse, a definite talent. He's done a lot in the last 20 years, you mentioned.
He's done a lot.
Yeah. We were talking about doing at some point a supergroup show, too. So
yeah.
Because I think that's an interest. We haven't really explored that too much.
No. And it's great because it's always, supergroups are always, they're interesting things in music.
Yep, yep. They are. You know, and it's, there's a whole thing you can get into, the different ones that have come out over the years.
Yeah.
Which I always find very interesting how they get together and how they work or don't work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's good stuff.
And you got, and that's all I got, Coop.
That's all I got.
Some show stuff to announce or anything?
So like as far as the next jukebox, stay tuned. We'll be announcing that very soon. I think, Dave, we have a few things we can go with that. So stay tuned. We'll have a date for you as always. If you're listening to this on Monday, the next day, we're going to have special edition 101. Glenn Loop and Joshua Habarsky from the PCA Legislative Affairs Group are going to be on. So we'll be talking politics of cigars that night. We haven't had Glenn on in a long time. And Josh is from the PCA. So looking forward to that. And then on Thursday, on Primetime episode 190, Aaron and I will have on George Brightman part two, because we couldn't finish anything with him in part one. If you don't know who George Brightman is, he's one of the iconic like names in the cigar industry for the past 25 to 30 years. He just knows everyone. He's got stories. He's got a lot of experience. He's worked at Cigar Aficionado. He's worked for Davidoff. He knows everybody in the industry, this guy. So we had him on for Primetime episode 186. We couldn't even get through one third of what we wanted to get through with him. So he offered to come back. The stories were incredible. So I highly advise if you're really into cigars and into cigar history, you want to hit George. He's awesome.
Well, nice. That's all I got. Coop, you want to close out the road trip while you're on the road?
Yeah. So yep. All right. It looks like maybe I'll have a cigar tonight because the rain stopped, but it was too wet to put wires out. But no. So again, thanks, Dave. Thanks to our audience as well. That's going to wrap up Primetime Jukebox episode 39 into the annals of history for this May 2021 end of month edition. We will see everybody real soon, and we'll be hitting show 40. Take care, everybody. Have a super fantastic week.